Hi, I'm Jay Jacobs, and welcome to another episode of Going Beyond the Scale. I am extremely excited about today's episode because I've connected now with a good friend of mine, Brooke, who she and I met a long time ago, a few years ago. And between COVID and her becoming a new mom and me doing my antics, we have exchanged a few emails back and forth, but we have not spent any time together. And my life is very different than when the last time we were together, and her life is certainly very different now that she's a mom. What I love about what Brooke is going to share with us today is I have been a client and a student and a collaborator with Brooke in the whole world of thought and thinking. Not that I'm a subject matter expert, more I'm a student of it, and she's taught me a lot. And you're going to learn a lot with what she shares today. Brooke has had her own struggles and challenges in her life, and she's going to share some of those today. So, Brooke, welcome to Going Beyond the Scale. Thanks for being here.
Hi, it's so great to be here. It's been too long.
Well, yeah, it's been It's been a very long time. You know, just so people have, we're going to get into hypnotherapy, but just so people have a little bit of a background. Two, you've had an eclectic career and lifestyle. And I really like them to kind of get a sense of you, yes, your mom now, but there was a whole world of you before your mom. So just kind of share some of that for people.
It was definitely not a straight line, that's for sure. I started off after college or after high school going to college for pharmacy. And I was pre-pharmacy, working at the University of Iowa as a pharmacy tech. And that was like the first big moment that I had in my life where I just felt like it wasn't right for me. I felt this tug. And so I, not necessarily dropped out, but I transitioned to a different school and studied horse science, which I was really passionate about was horses. And I've had incredible opportunities in the horse industry, from grooming to mucking stalls to being an assistant trainer, instructor. And all the while, I have 10 years working in pharmacy to help support that hobby, that habit. And then I got really passionate about film and television and telling stories. And that's when I went out to LA. Started working out there, collecting my hours to become a DGA director, AD. But before I even finished collecting those days, I felt another pull. And I remember being on set and everybody kind of came to me. I knew everybody's problems on set. And I was like, I should really be doing this professionally. I'm a really good listener, but I didn't have the confidence to pursue that. I'm like, I left healthcare to do this thing that I'm passionate about, film and television. I don't want to leave that, do I? And so it became that point. Another year later, I felt that pull. And so I've never ran away from anything. It was always, I felt pulled to the next thing. And before I knew it, I was doing hypnotherapy for my own self. I had chronic pain of 15 years. And within 3 hypnotherapy sessions, I've been chronic pain free now since 2013, so almost 8 years. And I pursued becoming a hypnotherapist. I moved back to Iowa to be closer to family, got an opportunity to be on staff as a hypnotherapist, and then grew my private practice, took some time becoming a mom, and now here I am. Just a wild, wild ride. I try and sum up my story. When everybody asks me, like, what's your story? I'm like, I don't know if I can do this in 30 seconds, but I'll try.
Well, I love when you share your story is I think it's one of the reasons why what you do works so well, because it wasn't a straight line. And as you know, and now you know, being a mom, and I will tell you, it will continue. That's how life goes. Life is never a straight line. And I got to meet you because I was in Iowa doing a talk about sleep apnea. And there must have been something that I shared in that talk because your dad was in the audience, mm-hmm. and he and I had lunch together and we started talking. He really got to understand that everything that I have always been interested in has to do with thinking, because it's the genesis of everything. And so he said, you really need to meet my daughter, Brooke. And then you and I met and we started working back and forth and collaborating. And I think, you know, I'm going to have you talk specifically about hypnotherapy, but for me as a layperson and somebody that experienced what you had done for me, I never forgot. There's two things I really learned. One is I really learned that when people think, oh, hypnotherapy, I don't want to be hypnotized. I want to control my life. I can't be hypnotized. What I really learned was that we all are under our own hypnosis all day long. We have hypnotized ourselves and we pretty much robotically and automatically live the same way and think the same things. That I learned from you. But the most powerful thing that I loved when you put me in that hypnotic state, that's not some weird thing, but it's a very relaxing state, kind of like acupuncture for me, that's how I related to it, was that you listened to me and you got me to use words the way that I would language something. And to me, I think that was so powerful and freeing, because when people try to lose weight or exercise or do something other than what they would normally do, they think everything they do is wrong and they have to change it all. And what you taught me, and this is where I'm so excited about you sharing this today and continuing to share with people, is I see the power of what you do is you have people hear what they say. And then when they're willing to do it, you have them use that because it's naturally, we're wired for that. And so anyway, that's my experience with you. And it was powerful because you can read about it, but until I experienced that, it was life-changing. So talk about one of the things you talked about, which was subconscious. I think right now, a lot of times people feel their subconscious is really an enemy. And I want you to really talk about your whole experience and your whole belief of that. I'm going to just shut up for a while.
Sounds good. Thank you. That was a great intro. Yes. So the biggest thing that I hear when people come to me as a hypnotherapist, I've read all the books. I've tried everything. I know what I should be doing. I know what I need to do. They understand and grasp concepts logically, and they know that these logical thoughts they're having are what they should be believing. So by the time they get to me, they're usually feeling pretty hopeless. They're like, I don't know what else to try. I've been asked by a couple of doctors in town. They're like, how does it feel to be our last resort? And I go, I love it. Mm. I love it because I know I have a key to helping them find that hope again and to find that success. And it comes down to the subconscious. So the first thing that I mentioned to people, and it depends on what neuroscience study you read, they will say anywhere from 92 to 98% of our mind is our subconscious. That leaves only 2 to 8% conscious. So our conscious area of the mind is our logic, our reasoning, our decision-making, our analytical skills. Our subconscious is our emotions, our feelings, involuntary bodily functions, coping mechanisms, communication style, belief systems, fight flight responses. So we are operating out of the subconscious, even though consciously we have this desire. And that's the other secret. Conscious is desire. Subconscious is motivation. So you can consciously desire something. And logically, you know, this is what I want to do. This is what I should do. These are the steps that I can take to make it happen. But I can't flip that switch in my brain. I feel like I'm hitting my head against a wall. I feel like I'm arguing with a child. I feel like there's a devil on my shoulder. That's how they'll describe their subconscious. And what I tell them is, look, your subconscious is your best friend. It's not your enemy. It wants to do a good job. Your main goal with the subconscious's main goal, is to keep you alive, to keep you safe, to help you survive. So if you think about it, you develop the majority of your coping strategies, communication skills, belief systems between 0 and 8 years old. Okay. So your subconscious is like a kid. Think of a kid for a moment. All right. This is my favorite part. If you told a kid, oh, you're doing terrible. You know, you need to be, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough. If you berate that child, what happens? They typically give up. Why bother? I'm not good enough, right? When we talk to ourselves that way, oh, I feel like I'm hitting my head against the wall. I feel like there's a devil. You are tearing down your subconscious. So why would it want to do a good job? You know, so we have to first recognize, okay, my subconscious is like that 0 to 8 year old version of me. And how would I like to treat that child? And so when you start to talk to yourself differently that way, your subconscious then continues to do a good job. Where, okay, I'm going to teach you now how to do a coping strategy, or here, I'm going to teach you a new communication style. The subconscious latches onto that because it wants to do a good job. And the reason why you hear someone talk about gratitude is because gratitude is a way to keep motivating the subconscious. Wow, even though I had a pretty bad day, I had that one success, and that was awesome. Good job. I'm so grateful for that one moment today. And what that does is it just keeps reinforcing the subconscious, keeps it working with you versus against you. So the first thing that I try and teach clients is your subconscious is an ally. It's not an enemy. It wants to do right by you. It wants you to thrive and to do well. It just, unfortunately, is operating on old systems, old belief systems, old coping mechanisms, old communication styles. So once you can harness that knowledge, then it unlocks so much more. That's kind of like my gateway into working with people, is you have to understand your subconscious is your ally. Quit telling yourself that it's like a child that's being disobedient. Stop telling yourself that it's like a devil on your shoulder telling you to do all these wrong things. It is trying to help you survive based off of the programming you have wired in your mind currently. If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. I guess the other question I have is it really possible to do, like when you said, I know it worked for you to do three sessions and you're pain free, or is it also the kind of thing that, since we've had a whole lifetime of thinking a particular way, I always kind of think of it back to layperson, like kind of like exercise. Like somehow if you don't keep doing something, it's going to maybe go back. Is that true? Or does it help to keep doing something?
Yeah. Basically my situation, so pain is, I could do a 2-hour talk on pain alone. My chronic pain stemmed a lot from my coping strategies around anger. So our body holds a lot of our emotions. And once I realized that it was anger that I was not processing, my pain went away. Like, it actually went away in the first session. I just did 2 follow-up sessions to make sure it stuck because I was in disbelief. I'm like, how am I not in pain? And actually, I was out of pain before my hypnotherapy session when my mentor, I actually was interviewing for a mentor when I was going through college. And I asked this one, I'm like, I feel like you're supposed to be my mentor. This is my situation. She asked me one question. She said, what do you do with the emotion of anger? And I got really defensive. I actually go, I'm not an angry person. And she goes, ah, I didn't call you an angry person. I asked you, what do you do with that emotion? I don't get angry. And she's like, I want you to think about that and get back to me in a few days. And so I went home and I even called my mom and talked to her about a few things. I'm like, I don't remember being angry, but what did I do with that emotion? And after just 4 days of thinking about the emotion of anger and starting to process it, my pain went away before I went into that session. And I go, you have to be my mentor, because I don't know what you did, but my pain is alleviating. It's basically gone. And we haven't even had a session. It was all because I was willing to start processing my emotions and start working through it that my pain went away. And I do believe a good portion of people out there suffering from pain is emotional. I do believe that some people that are suffering from pain are legitimate, medical conditions. In those situations, yep. We work on managing the pain. If you have a broken leg, I don't want to take your pain down to a zero. We don't want you walking on a broken leg. Pain is important. It is a message unit that kind of, helps us along in our lives, but we can live in a happier place on that scale versus like an 8, 9, 10. So for me, it came down to processing that emotion. So anytime I start to get any twinge of pain anywhere in my body, I ask myself, am I not willing to hear right now? What am I not willing to feel? What's really going on? So I go through like a laundry list of questions. And just by asking myself, what's really going on right now, my pain will go away within a few minutes. I've had a lot of headaches lately with the whole COVID thing. My husband's leaving his job. I get to go back to full time. So we're kind of in this limbo and it's been very stressful because I'm like, I want you to go with your job already. And we have 2 weeks left. And I'm just like, ah. So I've been carrying a lot of the stress and tension in my shoulders. And I know that. So a lot of what I've been doing is working through using the tools that I have. So yeah, you have to, it's not like a one and done, but it is a one and your life is a lot better. And it's up to you to keep using those tools and polishing them. You know, it's kind of like taking care of any tools. You know, if you leave them in the garage to rust, they're probably not going to, or, you know, outside in the rain, they're not going to probably function when you go to use them next. But if you keep using them and keep them sharp and polished and, you know, take care of them, it's going to last.
You know, it's interesting you share that because it's probably a similar thing. On Biggest Loser, we did have a psychiatrist, and I spent a lot of time getting to talk to him, mainly because he would come early in the morning and I was an early riser and a lot of people were sleeping. And one of the things I learned, and it sounds like it's similar, you're not calling it this, but it sounds like it, I learned that people that are morbidly obese, you don't have to just be morbidly obese to have this, but they tend to repress their emotions. And kind of like what you said with your mentor, when he was talking to me about it, because I'm a very positive person, I just believe in positivity, I don't have negative thoughts, like that's how I am. And he started to kind of maybe make me feel like I was wrong because I wasn't having honest thoughts. And I was like, okay, great. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work at having bad. Like I got mad like you did. And I did the same thing. And what I will tell you that I've learned over time, and I kind of joke about it. Like I say, if you take carbs out of a relationship, sometimes it's a little messy. But I will tell you, part of the reason why I think I've been so successful now over 10 years since Biggest Loser, not perfect, but very successful, is because somewhere along the line, I guess what you're saying is I did learn that thing that I was holding in, emotion, whatever that was, when I got real with like, no, it's okay to be mad and pissed off and upset and have emotions instead of eating your emotions. So I never, we've talked, I've heard you say this before, but until you said it today, I didn't really realize like that probably was part of why I opened up. And then like when you started sharing things with me, it's like, I think that's the part. It's like, if you're opening up and then you have somebody like yourself you can trust, like it's like an archaeologist, you kind of open up certain doors like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize a lot of that's, like you said, in your subconscious, which is very cool. Well,
people ask me, will you work with a skeptic? Oh, yes, I'll take a skeptic. I won't work with a skeptic. If you're cynical, you've already made up your mind. A skeptic, they've left you just a little crack to teach them something.
Interesting.
And that's usually skeptics, again, being skeptical, it's a coping mechanism. It's a way of being safe. Like you don't want to just let any bit of information in or any person into your life. Like I respect skeptics, because they, they're operating on the tools they have. And if they give me just that little crack, I can teach them something. And they might not stick for several sessions. They might, this isn't for me, but they walked away with something. They walked away with a piece of information. I love it though when a skeptic comes back to their second sessions, like, I don't know what you did or how this is working, but things are changing and I can't even tell you how they're changing. What did you do? And I go, all I did was listen to you. All I did was help you define what it is that you want. So another important thing about hypnosis is I'm not a licensed professional. So that means I can't prescribe medications, I can't diagnose, and I do not give advice. I can teach you tools, I can teach you how your mind works. I can help you reprogram what it is that you want reprogrammed. It's kind of like taking your computer in and having somebody work on the computer. That old program's not working, you want an upgrade. I can help with that. So usually when people come to a hypnotherapist, I tell them, you're not looking for advice, you're looking for validation. And I'm gonna validate you all you want, because who you are is so important. And you being that unique person is so important. So often we're looking for advice, waiting to hear someone say, I think that's a good idea. We know what we want. We know the life we wanna live. We know we wanna pursue certain things. But it's also scary. You know, we've got people judging, we've got fear of failure. There's so many different components that go into that. I go, I'm not going to give you advice, but what is it that you want? What is it that you really want? I will help you achieve that. And I think that's what makes it so different and unique is people, I love it when clients will say, well, what do you think? What I think doesn't matter. It's not my life. This is your life. I want to empower you to live your life. And you know, I think that's where my role within the wellness industry is so important. I think everybody's role in wellness is important, but what makes mine important is the fact that so often we're hit with all this advice and all these programs and techniques and whatnot. And at the end of the day, it's like, I'll tell clients, look, if you don't like group workout classes, stop going. If you would rather go outside and ride, go ride a bike. Like, no one tells you you have to do yoga. You don't have to do CrossFit. You don't have to go join a specific gym or work out X amount of days. What is going to allow you to enjoy life that you can move your body, feel good about yourself, and can stick with, you know? And that really is eye-opening to a lot of people. It's like, wait, you mean I don't have to do cardio X amount of hours a week and strength training X amount of hours? I'm like, are you going to stick with that? You'll probably do it for 3 or 4 weeks, burn out, and regress. And I'm like, what are you going to do that you love? And it's so fun hearing what they really want to do. Well, I have my garden in my backyard, or I really like going for walks, or I really like, you know, just doing my elliptical in the basement, you know, alone with some music on. It's like, have fun with that. Like, that's what's important. So my role is not to tell people what to do, but to help them find it, what it is they want to do, and then help them achieve that.
I think the validation part is a powerful idea, because it's just that part that we hear all the time. You know, people don't think that they're enough, or they're carrying the excess baggage of whatever they had from the past. Mm-hmm. And I think that distinction, for anybody that's listening, that's really, quite frankly, if you get in your life at some point in your life that you can actually validate that who you are is who you are, and you're no longer a child, you're now in charge of your life. And yes, we've had a past, but I think that there's a powerful freedom. Now, I think sometimes that scares the hell out of people, because then they can't blame the rest of the world for what's not going on. So I don't know. Do you run into that sometimes?
Well, I'll kind of tell you my story of what led me to understanding validation versus advice. And I learned this early on in my 20s. It's also when I learned never make a plan with a timeline, because it isn't going to happen. I was studying pre-pharmacy. So we talked a little bit about that. I was pre-pharmacy. And at that time, my mom and I were dating a lot. She had just undergone some surgeries for her cancer, and we figure skated together. It was something that took her mind off of pain. It was something that we got to do together. It was very enjoyable. And one day, we skated in the morning, which normally we skated in the afternoons. And I was on my way to campus, on my way to drop my mom off so then I could go to campus for class. And I remember having a breakdown on the, you know, just on our drive home. And I go, Mom, I don't want to go to class. I don't want to do this. This is this is not for me. Like, I don't know what to do. And I go, I really want to pursue the horse thing. That's where my heart is. That's what I really want to do. And you have to understand, Iowa City, the University of Iowa. So my dad taught at the University of Iowa. He was a very well-respected PhD. He taught physicians, taught residents, taught grad students. And most people in my family were nurses or, you know, worked in the medical field. And Iowa City, you know, when you live in such a prestigious, I know you don't think of prestigious when you think of Iowa, but it is a very well-known university, especially for certain programs. And I felt this intense pressure. No one put it on me, but I felt this intense pressure that I had to pursue the medical field. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do the horse thing. Like, who does that? Who leaves a path like, you know, pharmacy that to go work for horses, to go shovel manure? Like, I joke with people, I was a professional shit shoveler. Like, that's what I did for a number of years, is I shoveled manure. But I loved it. It brought me so much joy, the smell of the horses and everything. But it was that moment where the reflection after that moment, I should say, where I realized I didn't ask my mom for advice. I wanted somebody to validate my decision. And that was the moment where I'm like, I'm never going to ask anyone for advice. I already know what I want. I need to start validating myself. So I developed that early on in my 20s. A lot of people don't ever develop that or develop it later on in life. That moment was the biggest turning point probably in my, you know, younger adult life. That ability to pursue whatever I felt the pull to. So often I think we feel the pull to pursue something and we let, well, I have to be responsible. I have these, you know, these responsibilities. I have to, you know, live in a certain size house, live in a certain neighborhood. It's like you're free to make any choice you want. If you don't, like, I don't like wearing makeup and I'm just like, for the video today, I'm just going to put on my mascara and that's it. You know, that's who I am. I don't need the validation that I need to do full face. You know, if somebody wants to do that full face look, go for it. I'm not going to tear you down for it. That's you. That's what you want. If you're doing it because, you know, you think you're supposed to, then we want to explore that. So that idea of advice, it's really you seeking validation. Now, I think what's more important is to seek people with stories and who are willing to share their stories and find inspiration. I think what people need to find validation and inspiration, not necessarily advice, because what's worked for one person won't necessarily work for someone else.
I think that's like you said, you could, on one topic, you could talk for hours. I think that area is definitely one that needs to be explored. And I know for myself personally, when I grew up around self-help and inspiration and motivation, I was like a self-development junkie from the time I was a teenager. So the challenge with that was my mind was, and when you talked about, you like to work with teens. Okay. So I'm going to give you my teen story. As a teen, I didn't have a good sense of self. I was not very confident. I grew up in a very entrepreneurial family. And it wasn't that my parents made me feel bad. It was that when I heard all these high power people were millionaires and you have to have this, you have to, I believed that that's who I needed to be successful. So my brain forever, from the teenager to an adult, by the time I was 50, my entire life I spent trying to be other than who I was. I wanted to fix myself. I was wrong. I was all. And then I hit 50 and I'm like, oh my God, like I'm on the back end of this thing. Like, I don't know how much I can go past 50. And all of a sudden I shifted everything and said, what if I started to concentrate on what I do well? Because all the stuff that I don't do well wasn't working well. And that shift for me, I wish I had done it earlier. It was profound. It made a major difference in the direction of my life when I started to go after what I was for versus what I was against. I was against myself forever. So I think when you say validation, like, I don't care who's listening today, like, they need to dig more into that. They need to pay attention to what you're sharing, because I think that is a game changer for a person if they can actually for real get that.
Definitely. That's I'm working on some book ideas right now, and that is the biggest component to my books, is the idea of validation. And I just, my heart sinks a lot when I work with people and they come to me and they tell me, you know, this is the my heart really sinks for the people that are like, I feel like I should be doing this, or I need to be doing this. And it's like, what if we pursue what you want and who you truly are? You know, it's okay. I think the other thing too, and I experience this a lot with the film and television industry, a lot of people that don't feel like they belong in that anymore almost stay there because they're afraid of what would it look like. I've made it to this level. And I mean, I made it to that level. Even after I moved back to Iowa, I was still getting phone calls. Can you come work on this set? Can you do? And I was like, no, like, I loved it. I valued it. It was a passion of mine. I outgrew it. And I allowed myself to move to where I was meant to go versus fighting that growth and forcing myself to stay there. So often I could have easily have just stayed there and, you know, had a great career, but I would have been fighting the entire time against this new pull that was taking me a new direction. And I think so often people fear, well, what is it going to look like if I walk away from this? I had this career and I want to go back to school for this. You know, have this marriage that I don't want to be in anymore. What would it look like if I get divorced? It's like, who cares if other people have their opinions? My dad raised me. And my dad, you met my dad. He's a very brilliant, kind man. And he raised me with this idea of what others think of you is none of your business. And I took that with me. Life. It's like, you think if you want to spend your time thinking about my life, you're wasting your own life. Go for it. And I'll tell clients that too. I'll have clients that will come in and vent, and they need to vent. I will give them some time to vent because it's important. But I'll go, you know, you've been venting. I'll look at my watch. I'm like, you've been venting for 15 minutes about somebody else. I go, you realize how much you're paying me to vent? You're giving your session to somebody else right now. I go, inventing is important, but let's start working on you. Let's start getting you to where you want to be. And so many people are going through life so concerned about other people that they're neglecting themselves. And that's where my heart really sinks, is like, quit giving your life to other people. You know, not saying don't contribute to, that's a whole nother, you know, top, but you can still contribute to society, still care about people, but stop putting all of that pressure first and start focusing.
It is interesting when you share about your dad and what he gave you, because in that brief amount of time that I spent with him initially, you know, I got that sense of it's funny because he wasn't giving me advice. I guess he heard what I was passionate about and what I wanted to do. And it wasn't because you were his daughter. It wasn't a dad to dad conversation, because dads are proud of their daughter and obviously proud of you. It was literally like, I had a want and I had a need, and he knew that you could be that person, and he was 1,000% correct. And that's what I got when I was with you, because I got that in that instant. And you've all, even though we haven't spent time together, it's like, I've always had that connection to you, because when you have a profound connection with somebody that actually hears you, because so many times they're like, we're not heard. When someone actually for real hears you, it's not trying to get something from you. To me, that stays with you forever. And that's what I got in my time with you. So it's like, it's never gone away. Even if we didn't talk for 10 years, it's like that part of you. And I think that's why what you do works so well with people. Because that is a unique gift. Because yes, you have the understanding, but it's who you're being that is why somebody's getting for themselves what they need to get.
Thank you for saying that, because that's how I feel, and so it's always nice to hear that. But again, that came from my dad. He always, so I grew up, I sat in on a lot of his classes where he would teach doctors. And I was 4 years old, and I'd be coloring with highlighters because that's all I could find. And you know, I'd be sitting in on these lectures, med students and grad students, and I would see him walk through the hospital, and you know, the top physicians would stop by and say, "Hey, John, how are you doing?" Or it was always Dr. Lemke, I should say. And for the longest time, I would see him interact, and he would interact not just with the top doctors and the financial people and the board. Like he would interact with all of these people, and he would also know the name of everybody in the cafeteria and the janitorial services. And he would know about their lives. And he just, he gave me that compassion for others. And I always looked to that like, wow, like my dad knows everybody in this hospital and everybody respects him and he respects everybody. And there's a lot of beauty in that. If you can reach that level of just respecting other people. And one of the biggest lessons I teach my clients is that everybody's on a journey. Just like you're in my office working on your journey and you see how hard it is to work through this stuff. Now imagine everybody else is on a journey trying to work through their own stuff. And it opens up this level of respect and compassion for other people. When we work on ourselves, it starts this ripple effect. And, you know, there's that saying, you know, it starts with me. I say it ends with me. When I get confronted with hate or anger or, you know, somebody cutting in front of me and flipping me off, it's like, you know what? That's ending with me. I am not going to take that anger that they've placed on me and lash out at somebody else. It stops with me. And I actually, if we have time, I have a funny story.
Definitely.
I don't say I was bullied growing up. I was definitely teased a lot. And one girl reached out to me 2 or 3 years ago, and she called herself my bully. She's like, "I'm so sorry I bullied you," and all this stuff. And I go, "I never felt like it was personal." I go, "You don't need to apologize to me." I said, I could see the amount of pain and hurt that you were going through. And she's like, "I felt like you were the person that could take it." And oddly, it's going to sound terrible because, you know, just what we see in the media all the time, but I did feel like that place where people could lash out, never physically, it was never anything like that. And I felt like I could take that and let them vent, release it, let it go. And I wouldn't take it personally or take it on throughout, you know, my life or push it onto other people. And I think that's really important, is just the level of understanding people's journeys. You know, I tell people we're not going to condone people's behaviors. We're just working to understand that everyone is on a journey, accept that everyone's on a journey, and being a little more compassionate and respectful. And so I really appreciate that you can see that in our work together, because that's probably what I pride myself on most, is the level of compassion I have for people and the level of respect. And, you know, that's so important to me, because I think that's what's lacking so much in the world. I mean, I'm getting teary-eyed talking about, because I care so much about people, and I get to witness miracles every day, you know, with what I do. Like you see people with PTSD or anxiety or struggling to lose weight or dealing with chronic pain, and they come back for a follow-up session and they tell you about the success they're experiencing. And it's amazing how powerful our mind is. And I want to, you know, thank you for this opportunity to hopefully give people a little bit of hope, a little bit of validation, a little bit of, you know, encouragement, compassion, respect, whatever it is they're missing right now, who's listening, like, you're okay being who you want to be and who you are. And it's finding that again. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. And we have a lot to get caught up on since we talked last. I mean, the reason why I call this Going Beyond the Scale is because My entire life has been a journey that's been affected by many things. One of them that was always the most obvious was my weight, up and down and back and forth, and then large and whatever. And it's a big issue for lots of people psychologically. It's a big issue well-being wise. And what I got committed to was I just said, you know what, I want to be able to, the spirit of it is, I want to have people live their life beyond the scale. The scale is a place that we get a measure, like a bank account. Like, it doesn't mean to go, don't think. You have the ability to check in, like blood pressure or anything else, but life well lived. So what I say is, the idea is to have people live the life that they love and live it well. And it's interesting because everything you've shared today is literally that. Like, you do that. You're getting people to understand that. And it is that dance between your career and what you want to be able to do, your well-being. And what I love is that, you know, you and I've had this chance to dance back and forth. But in this conversation today, I thank you as well, because it only deepens that you and I, as we've been doing our separate things, are actually more and more connected and have different audiences of people. And I'm so excited that we get a chance to start to play with that again. The other part that I do know in my notes, because like I said, I want to have you come back more. There's a lot of things I want us to be able to do after this conversation, especially. But also, we talked about the idea of like kind of like entrepreneurially, like what you're doing. So you had your business, and then you were mom, and then you've been, you know, doing mom things, and now you're doing, so kind of how do you want to kind of share that, and then the information, so people, I really hope people reach out to you because they will get so much. So why don't you just kind of share where you're at right now and what they can do in being able to connect with you.
So I was very fortunate to still be able to see clients through maternity leave. I just kept it very limited. I took on just enough to keep my skills sharp and to give me a little bit of purpose outside of, you know, being a mom full time. It was a lot of work, and just mentally and, you know, for my own soul and passion, I needed to still be a part of my practice. So I still kept it going, just very, very light. I've been picking it back up the last 2 months. And it is rapidly, like rapidly. And so that's another reason why I'm like, I can't wait for my husband's job to be done. I'm getting to the point where it's like, I need to be full time so I can handle all these requests. And so with that being said, right now, it's still kind of limited to only evenings after my daughter goes to bed. Starting April 5th, I'll be full time. So I'll be working 11:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Central Time, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. And if anyone has any questions and they want to reach out, they can go through my website, which is windishwellness.com, or they can go through my Facebook or Instagram. Both are Windish Wellness LLC. Starting April, I'm going to be also putting out a newsletter and a YouTube channel. So I'm excited about that because it's basically what we've talked about. You know, I keep saying, well, this could be a 2-hour conversation. I want to take all these little tidbits and put them into YouTube videos and start, you know, I could monetize, but I really want to just give this stuff to people. Like the basic things that we need, that I tell the teenagers when I'm working with them, I wish I had this as a teenager, and I think every adult could value from it. So it's basic information, very simplistic tools that I want to just provide for people. And with that, I also want to, you know, through the YouTube and the newsletter and my social media, share my personal wellness journey, because I like sharing my wellness from a mental health and behavioral health perspective, not just numbers or, you know, sizes of clothes or anything. I want to show people, you know, this is what it takes mentally. These are some tools I'm using right now as I get back. I'm starting up a new round of cycling training. My husband has convinced me, didn't really take much convincing, but I'm going to try cyclocross. Yeah. I'm excited because I am kind of an adrenaline junkie, and I've missed those activities, And he's like, you know, cyclocross might fit that a little bit. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get. So we have a big event here, actually in Iowa City. It's got like the largest sand trap or sand portion of a cyclocross course in all of the United States. And
wow,
it's one of, I think it's used, I'm not cycling terminology, so no one quote me on this, but I think it's like a UCI. Is that the right? It's like a championship cup, and pros from all over the world race at this race. And I'm like, obviously I won't be competing with the pros, but I still want to give it a try and do this course. So we'll see.
When so, is it? When is that?
It's going to be, I think it's mid October. I don't want to give a date. I think it's mid October. Yeah. So I've got some
time. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So, you know, just sharing people, like, you know, again, you can start anything at any age, and, you know, it's, life can look different. I'm not riding horses right now, but it doesn't mean I can't still be passionate about things and, you know, move my body and learn something new and have fun. So that's what I kind of hope to do with the YouTube channel, my newsletter, and then, you know, connect with people. I don't know. I just think we need a lot more connection and just a positive place to go. That's why I like what you're doing so much, is you're providing that space for people to, you know, learn new tools, to have a place to share their stories. And I think that's so important. We get so bombarded with information that's, you know, not necessary to our mental, you know, bettering our mental health or our well-being, and you're providing that. And that's something I want to do, just, you know, on my own scale with the hypnotherapy. So, yeah, I think everything comes well together.
I thank you for that. And that is the one thing that I promised myself and promised people, is that if I'm going to have somebody be here, like yourself, it's going to be somebody that's actually, I know, is going to give people what they need and what I love what you do. And I'm a firm believer in it. I always try to support people for them to have that power for themselves, not what I gave them, not what you give them. So I'm always looking for people that are like you, that are empowering the person to own whatever their life is. And I think that's one of the things that I will always do when I'm looking for people to come on, or we're going to talk about something or whatever. And so I'm so grateful that that you said yes in the midst of everything else that's going on, because it was just like the timing's perfect. Like, if I can just get Brooke to share some things about what she's up to, my ask for everyone that's listening to this live, and then we're going to keep rebroadcasting it as well. And I'm also going to do a transcription of the notes and put it in a blog, so they can either, they can listen to it as a podcast, they can look at it live, they can look at the transcript, is that I'm asking people to really reach out to you, because I do know, as a, like, I'm a dad, I've been around for 63 years. I've been around a lot of people. Brooke is the kind of person you can trust, and you really should reach out to her, because she can share things with you. And as important, I know that everybody's listening to this has at least three people in their life that they need to hear this. So share it with people, because that's the point of this. We don't know. None of us know at any point in time when you're going to hear that thing. And somebody may never tell you. They may never tell you. But that's, I think, as human beings, if we hear something that we think is powerful for us, and to share it with others, it that's what life is about. And that's who I know your dad is. Your dad shared it with me. You've shared you with me in terms back and forth. And it's like, now it's for other people to do the same thing. And I think that's going to make, you know, the world a much better place the more we do that with people. So
I think so too.
So Brooke, thank you for being here today. This is definitely the first of many chats I want to have with you, and a whole bunch of different things here. As you know, I'm always a yes for any time you need any support or ideas or whatever. I am so excited about what you're doing. It's wanted and needed, and I look forward to being able to be connected to your journey as you continue to go forward. So yeah, as you know, just reach out to me and let me know. Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Okay.